Well, good evening. I'm excited for all of you to be here tonight. Welcome to Green Forest Church of Christ for our SYS, our Summer Youth Series, and I hope you're just as excited to be here as I am. If this is your first time at Summer Youth Series, if you've never been to SYS before, it's one of my favorite events of the summer, and I'd like to especially welcome you guys. And also, as Adam said, as he mentioned earlier, I want to invite you to come and join us downstairs for some just hanging out time and eating some pizza and eating some snacks and having some drinks. So that sounded weird, having some drinks. Huh, no, having some regular beverages. There we go. Like I said, I'm excited for you all to be here tonight. I'd like to start out by asking you all a question tonight. And I think it's a question that almost all of us can slightly relate to. Have you ever felt either let down or disappointed in life? Has there been a moment in your life where you maybe expected something out of someone or expected a lot out of some special thing or some special occasion, and when it actually came down to it, you were let down? You were slightly disappointed. Maybe you remember the time when you wanted a cell phone. Maybe you remember a time when you were younger and you had been craving and wanting to get a new cell phone, and it was finally time. It was the golden moment. It was your time to shine because your family finally decided to buy you that cell phone. You were excited. You were thrilled. You expected probably something a little like this. You expected a new iPhone or a new Samsung Galaxy, but what you really ended up with was something kind of like this, right? Right? You were let down. You were disappointed. Or maybe you remember a time when you were a little bit older and you wanted a brand new car and you wanted your parents to buy you a car because you were counting down the days until you got your license and you were looking forward to driving and having a car that your friends would be like, man, that's an awesome car. And they would always want to hitch rides in and you could show it off to all the girls and all the guys at school. And maybe you expected something like this, but what you actually got was something like this, right? So there are moments in our lives when we're disappointed. There are moments in our lives when we're let down. But tonight, for just a moment, imagine living your entire life. Imagine living your entire life as a slave. Think about that. Imagine living your entire life as someone else's servant. See, that's where we find the Israelites, the Jews, in the book of Exodus. The situation that was the reality is that they had been enslaved their entire lives. Now, for those of you who are very well versed with the Old Testament and you know the story of Exodus, just hang with me for just a moment. And for those of you who don't know the story as well, I'm gonna help you kind of refresh your memories here. A lot of times we hear the word Exodus, and we think, yeah, that has something to do with Moses. That has something to do with Pharaoh and all these different plagues and something about a promised land. But what we sometimes forget and sometimes overlook is that the word Exodus literally means a mass departure of people. So the book of Exodus is actually about an exodus. It's about a big group of people leaving one area, or in this case, escaping one area for another. And these people, these Jews, these Israelites, they had lived their entire lives as slaves. Think about that. They had lived their entire lives in servitude to other people, to the Egyptians, and they finally got the great news that there's this guy named Moses who's going to lead them away from slavery, away from Egypt, and to the promised land, a place where they'll get to start over, a place where they'll get to live new lives and live comfortable lives and live happily and freely for the first time in their life. And they must have been excited. I assume they were ecstatic about the idea. They were probably looking forward to going on this crazy adventure with Moses. But it didn't take long for them to start feeling slightly disappointed. It didn't take long for them to start feeling slightly let down and wanting to give up and turn right back. See, the main reason for that was that the Jews, these Israelites, they had to trek through the wilderness to get to their destination. They had to go through a desert on foot to get to where they wanted to go. It's kind of like those infomercials where you see on TV where a guy's like, hey, if you buy my protein powder, you're going to get jacked kind of like me. For $39.99, you're going to have this body. And you're just like, oh, yeah, that's all I've wanted my entire life. I wanted to look like that guy and impress all the girls. But then you actually like think about it for just a second and reality sets in and you're like, oh, that means I have to get off the couch and actually do hard work and go to the gym. And you're just like, Well, never mind. Well, that's kind of how the Israelites were. They were excited for this promised land. They were looking forward to get to their destination, but they realized they had to go through the desert. They realized they had to do hard work. They had to travel such long distances, and they were probably disappointed. They were probably let down. They probably felt confused and maybe even completely lost at this point in their lives. But here's where things get really interesting. In the midst of all this disappointment and in the midst of all this confusion, God literally provides them directions. God literally gives them directions. That doesn't mean that he drops a map for Moses. That doesn't mean that he tells Moses the GPS so he can put it in his little, he gives him the address so he can put it in his GPS and just navigate their way over there on his smartphone. No. God literally provides this big bright light, this pillar of fire, this big bright light in the sky to show them the way. And when God did this, during the day, he provided clouds so that they would stay cool in the shade of the desert and they wouldn't get too hot as they're traveling. And during the night, he gave them this pillar of fire, this light, this big bright light in the sky to show them the way and to navigate them on their path. So these guys were thinking, oh, this is too hard. But God's saying, don't worry, I got you. I have your back. Just follow this light. I'm going to give you the directions. Just follow it, and you will get to where you want to go. Well, a lot of you are probably sitting there thinking, what does this have to do with Jesus? Right? What in the world does this big pillar of light and the story of Exodus and Moses and protein powder, what does this have to do with Jesus? Like, I thought the lesson was on Jesus and his I am statements and John chapter 8, verse 12. Well, what's really awesome is that Jesus, a lot of times in the New Testament, he often fulfills and often redoes a lot of things that happen in the Old Testament. So Jesus, all the time in the New Testament, is fulfilling and sometimes even redoing a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament. And when you transition from Exodus chapter 13 to John chapter 8, where we're going to be focused on tonight, you go from seeing this one big bright light in the sky, this one giant pillar of fire in the sky that was leading the Israelites to a festival that's filled with lights. So you go from one big light to a festival that's filled with numerous lights. See, if you have your Bibles and you're open to John chapter 8, you'll notice that the context, the setting of the story is taking place during the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, you hear that and you're like, I have no idea what that means. What is the Festival of Tabernacles? Well, this is basically this huge party that the Jews would throw. This is a huge celebration that the Jews would throw yearly to celebrate and to commemorate and remember the victory that they had in the Old Testament through God. They would remember what God had done for them during the time of the Exodus in the Old Testament. They remembered what God had done for their ancestors. And if that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, think about our 4th of July, right? Think about our 4th of July, our Independence Day. We celebrate it by shooting off all these fireworks and these big bright lights in the sky. And when we use it to celebrate our victory, we're in the same way, in a much similar way. That's what the Jews were kind of doing in John chapter 8. They're celebrating by lighting all these candles to commemorate and to remember the big bright light that occurred in the Old Testament through the big pillar of fire. Well, in the midst of all these lights, in the midst of all these candles that the Jews were lighting, and they were lighting up the city of Jerusalem to remember this other big light from the Old Testament, in the midst of all these lights, Jesus steps out. He steps out into the gathering of people, and he interrupts, and he says this: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, I, in the midst of all this, all these lights and all this light talk and all of this celebration and all this massive gathering of people, Jesus steps out and he says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you're not gonna walk blindly, you're not gonna walk in darkness, but you're gonna have the light of life. And the irony of this story is that for a good while now, this group called the Pharisees, they had been trying to basically prove Jesus wrong. They had been trying to find a way to basically get Jesus' followers to stop following him. They wanted to discredit his words. They wanted to discredit his works. They wanted to discredit his legitimacy. And what's really ironic is that these Pharisees, who were so well-versed in the Old Testament, who knew the law, who knew the prophets, and they saw all these signs and all these miracles that Jesus was doing to fulfill his his messianic prophecies. They saw all these things, yet they still did not believe who he was. Think about that. They didn't believe who he was. They were blind to the light that Jesus was. They lived in darkness. Now, the Pharisees, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he said, "I am the light of the world." But sometimes, let's be honest here, sometimes we fail to see the full picture of what Jesus is saying through this statement too. See, in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus said that he was the light of the world, he wasn't just making a cute statement. He wasn't just making a statement trying to get everyone's attention. He wasn't just saying it so we would sing at VBS, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." No, no, no. It's much bigger than that. Through claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming to be the hope of the world. I'm going to say that again. Through claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming to be the hope of the world. He was saying that light that you guys are trying to remember and celebrate and rejoice over from the Old Testament, that big bright light in the sky, I did that. That was me. That was my doing. I led the Jews, and now today I lead you. That light that led the Israelites in the Old Testament, it implied three main things. It implied God's presence with the Jews. It implied God's protection over the Jews. And it also showed God's guidance over the Jews. See, when Jesus said that he is the light of the world, he is saying that he is God's presence. Jesus is God's presence. He's the bringer of hope. He's the bringer of salvation and of life. And in the same way that the cloud and the pillars of fire in the Old Testament signified and symbolized God's presence, Jesus is saying, "I am present with you and I will never leave you." In the same way I didn't leave the Jews in the Old Testament, today I won't leave you and I'm always present with you. When Jesus says that he is the light of the world, he's saying that he provides protection over his people. In the same way that the pillar of fire and the cloud provided physical protection over the Jews, Jesus provides spiritual protection from condemnation and from walking in darkness. And finally, when Jesus says that he is the light of the world, he is saying that he is going to be our guide. He is going to light the path for us. He is going to show us the way. In the same way that God lit the path for the Israelites out of captivity, out of enslavement to the promised land, Jesus is lighting the path both in the New Testament and today in our lives. Jesus being the light means that he's God's presence with us. Jesus being the light means that he provides God's protection over us. Jesus being the light means that he guides us back to God. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus' claim to be the light of the world means that he is the hope of the world. Now, it's really easy to read all of this or hear all of this and still not have a clue as to how it actually relates to our lives, right? It's really easy to read something from the scriptures and be like, "That's a great point," but actually not have a clue how it influences or impacts your life. You might be wondering, what does this have to do with me? What does Jesus being the light of the world, how does that actually influence my life? What is up? What's the point of all this light talk? Well, I'm not trying to answer that question with another question, but have you ever felt maybe alone in life? Has there ever been a point in your life where maybe you felt completely alone and you felt like you were the only Christian, whether it was at your schools, whether it was at your workplace, whether it was in your friend group, you felt like you were the only person trying to follow God, and everyone else around you, they didn't really care, and they looked down on you for your faith. Have you ever felt alone? Well, as I said before, Jesus being the light means that he's our source of hope. He's our protector and our provider when we feel alone. He's our guide, and he's our comfort when we feel lost and confused, and he's our hope when we feel hopeless. And he's the one that reminds us all the time that there is hope, there is life in Jesus. As followers of the light, we have access to a hope that is actually exclusive to the rest of the world. See, as followers of Jesus, we have access to the light of life. We have access to eternal life. Everyone gets to live their lives, and everyone gets the same shot to life as we do, but as followers of Jesus, as followers of the light, we get to have eternal life. We get to have a hope that no one else outside of the light of Jesus gets to have. Here's another thing to consider tonight. Have you ever struggled with temptation? Have you ever struggled with a sin in your life? Are you struggling with a temptation right now? Are you struggling with a sin in your life right now. Well, Jesus lights the path out of the darkness, out of temptation, out of sin, and back to the Father. Whether that's through his church, whether that's through people in his church, whether that's through reading your Bibles, whether that's through praying to God, Jesus always provides a way out of the darkness and back to the Father, back to a healthy life, back to the light. And finally, I want to ask you, have you ever been in a dark place in your life? Now, I don't mean literally. I don't mean have you been outside during the night and there was no lights on. I mean, have you ever been in a moment? Have you ever had a point in your life where you felt like life was just not going your way? You felt like the weight of the world was on your shoulders and you had no one to turn to and you were just in this pit of despair. Have you ever been in a dark point in your life? See, when your life seems the darkest, when your life seems like it's the worst, remember that Jesus is the light in the midst of that darkness. When we have dark times, often when we forget about the light, when we forget about Jesus, when we forget about the hope that we have in Jesus. But Jesus, as I said, always lights the path back to God. He always shows us not just who God is, but what our hope in God is, right? He's always a clear image to us of not just our hope in God, but of our hope in salvation and our hope of our eternal life. In the same way that the Israelites were disappointed and about being lost and about having to go through the wilderness and being confused and alone, God provided them a way out. And in the same way, God's going to provide us a way out when we struggle or have dark times or are walking in darkness. And what's really great about Jesus being the light of the world is that it doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just influence you. It doesn't just impact you, but it impacts every single person you come into contact with. See, in Matthew chapter 5, if you grew up in the church, you know what this is, the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous speeches that Jesus gives. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus turns around after saying all these great things. He turns around and looks at his followers, and he says, "You are the light of the world." You are the lights of the world. Where our identity as Christians is based upon what Jesus' identity is as the Christ. In other words, when Jesus looked at his followers and he looks at you and he says, "You are the light of the world," he's essentially saying, "You are because I am. You are lights because I am the light." And in the same way that Jesus is the bringer of hope, in the same way that Jesus is the bringer of our hope and the source of our hope and the source of our encouragement, in the same way that Jesus is the light to us as Christians and as lights to this world, we can be the bringer of hope to those around us. See, you are at an age right now where you're going to have friends that face depression. You're going to have friends that might be facing anxiety in school. You're going to have friends that might feel hopeless in school. You're going to have friends who might feel awkward and lonely because they can't make friends at school. You're going to have friends who are struggling because their home life isn't that great and their family life isn't that great. In those moments, you can be the light to those people because Jesus was the light to you. In those moments, you can be the source of hope to those people because Jesus was the source of hope for you. He showed us the way so that we can show other people the way. So tonight, if you came here feeling slightly discouraged, if you came here feeling slightly disappointed in your life, or maybe let down by the world around you because you're having a dark time in your life, or you're struggling with a temptation, or you're struggling with a sin, or what have you, if you came here feeling disappointed, just remember that Jesus is the way out. Jesus, as the light, is the way out of those dark times. He is the light in our darkness. He is the way back to the Father. He's the source of our salvation. He is the source of our forgiveness, but he's also the source of our hope. And if you have people in your lives that might be struggling, if you have people in your lives that might be having that dark time too, remember that you can be a light because Jesus was the light. You can be a source of hope to those people because Jesus was a source of hope to you. And you can lead them out of the darkness and back into light. Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you have given us, God. Thank you for times like this where we get to just gather together and lift your name up in songs of praise, Father. Thank you for letting us have access to your word, Father. Thank you for letting us have access to your son. Jesus is the light of the world, Father. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the example that he left behind us. Thank you for his death and his resurrection that gives us hope of eternal life, Father. I pray that every day we can grow to be more and more like him. I pray that every day we can grow to follow him better and better. I pray that we can be a light to this world as well, Father. I pray that we can be a source of hope and a source of encouragement and just a shoulder to maybe lean on or a shoulder to cry on. Father, I just pray that we can be the representatives of you on this planet, Father. I want to thank you so much for everything that you've given us. And most of all, again, Father, I want to thank you for your son. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So tonight, if you have never accepted the light of life into your life, if you've never been baptized and never chosen to walk not just in the darkness, but in the light where Jesus is and where you can walk and live knowing that you have salvation, knowing that you have forgiveness, and knowing that you have hope through Jesus, I would like to encourage you to make that decision. Or tonight, if you feel down, or if you feel like you're going through a dark time in your life, or if you have friends who are going through dark times in the same way, remember that Jesus is the way out, and you are lights of the world because Jesus was a light. If you need any encouragement or prayers this evening, please come forward now while we stand together and while we sing.